You're a citizen journalist, and you've been, well, pardon the expression, hanging around near the Ecuadorian embassy the last couple of days. What's been happening there for the people who have been on another planet?
That's absolutely true. It's been quite fascinating the way it's unfolded so far. Obviously, there's a bit of a diplomatic row it's turned into, really, and it's a quite complicated situation. So what I've been doing is live streaming video and audio to the internet in order that I can try and offer people an alternative to mainstream media.
So it's all about Julian Assange, refuge in the Ecuadorian embassy, and now he was granted asylum. And the response, what I've heard on the mainstream media here, that the response of the British government was that they may actually invade the embassy and try to get him out. Is that
Yeah,
right?
that has been reported here in the UK as well. I can give you my opinion on that. That there was a communique, I think, sent from the UK authorities to the Ecuadorian embassy, which could be construed as a kind of a veiled threat to actually enter the embassy, despite the fact that it's clearly sovereign Ecuadorian territory. I personally don't think that that will actually happen, if for no other reason than if the UK were to do that, they'd instantly be placing every diplomat they have in every embassy around the world at risk, because they'd be setting a precedent. There'd be other nations that may not be happy with certain things about UK foreign policy or whatever, may then take the view that, well, the British don't really recognise embassies as sovereign foreign territory, so why should we recognise theirs? So I really don't think that they'll do that, because it would set an absolutely extraordinary precedent, and they'd actually be really shooting themselves in the foot for in the long term, when ultimately Julian Assange is, if you like, he's not really the British government's problem. He's not wanted in the UK for anything other than breach of his bail conditions. So it just so happens that he happens to be in this country. As far as I understand it, the British authorities have every intention of executing the European arrest warrant for Julian Assange, and the UK's view on it is that they want to execute that warrant, but I think that they'll probably more likely seek a diplomatic resolution to it rather than storming the Ecuadorian embassy or anything of that nature.
You mentioned the mainstream media earlier on. What's the problem that you have with that? So, because that's why you said, I'll do it myself, right?
Yeah, pretty much like a DIY do-it-yourself kind of thing. Well, the reason that happened was because when the Occupy movement started here in the UK in London on October the 15th of last year, I'd never been involved in any kind of activism or protest or anything like that in my life before. I'm 34 years old. And I naively assumed heading into it that the organisations such as the BBC, who I'd always considered to be a fair and even balanced organisation, something that the British people could be proud of, I just thought, okay, well, they'll just report exactly what happens. I don't need to worry about it. And when I was actually down with Occupy at St Paul's Cathedral in London, I was looking at the things that I was seeing with my own eyes, then having a look at the nightly news reports, and the nightly news reports just really didn't match what I was actually witnessing at all. So at that point,
In
I
which
really had
way
to.
were they misrepresenting
Well,
things?
it seems to be being misrepresented to me. I mean, like when there was the police took the steps of the cathedral where activists were sitting down peacefully, the only clips that you saw on the news were of people pushing and shoving and the police with batons drawn and things like that. When really that was like a 2-minute episode in something which, well, at that time was hours old, but obviously wouldn't want to be Occupy London carried on for many months at St Paul's Cathedral. But that would be one instance whereby I find that the mainstream news, they have like a 2-minute clip, and they show what a colloquial term for it might be, riot porn, when really that was not a description of how the day happened at all. And I also read and saw many media reports that the activists were doing things there which they simply weren't. There were accusations of all kinds of like dreadful things, and although towards the end I think things did turn a little bit sour, Certainly very much in the early days of Occupy in London, what I was seeing on the mainstream news was not really fully representative mm-hmm. of what was actually happening. And the thing about reporting things yourself via a live stream or via a blog or a YouTube channel or whatever, particularly with live streaming, because it's actually being broadcast live, there are no edits, there are no cuts, you can't really make anything up, you just kind of like broadcast what is actually there. Yeah. And when people are prepared to actually spend a little bit more time watching something, like watch a live stream for about 2 or 3 hours, it gives things context. Which you simply don't see on the mainstream news. They filter what you see, and if they have an agenda to push things a certain way, they can make black look white almost with clever editing. Yeah. But because there is no editing with live streaming, I think it's the potential is absolutely enormously powerful to revolutionise journalism.
Yeah, we'll link to your live stream on Bamboozer, it is, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So the... We've seen our 2-minute clip here in Belgium about what happened on the in front of the embassy yesterday. I think we saw protesters and people being arrested. I suppose it has happened, but why was that? What has been the attitude of the what they call security forces?
Okay, that one's a really difficult one for me to comment on because I didn't actually eyewitness that. Just to let you know very briefly, I'm not a full-time journalist or anything. I'm maybe what you would call an enthusiastic amateur. However, I do take what I do seriously and try to be as objective as possible. But I also have a day job, and during the time when that was happening, I actually had to pop into work to take care of a few things. So yeah. I wasn't actually there at the time when that happened, although I believe that a couple of other... live streamers aside from myself did capture it, but I can't comment on that particular incident because I didn't eyewitness mm-hmm. it. I wasn't there.
We also heard comparisons between the potential arrest now and the situation concerning other cases. I heard the Pinochet case 14 years ago. Is that are these correct comparisons or not? Because I think you mentioned that there's European arrest legislation which seems to approve what the UK government is now saying it will do, apart from invading the embassy probably, but, I mean, arresting Assange?
Yes, well, I think that the British authorities' view on it is that a European arrest warrant has been issued for Julian Assange. Whether you think he's guilty or whether you think he's innocent of the allegations against him, and I must stress that they are allegations, they are not charges, really, I think it's a very different... But I think people should be very mindful of what they actually know and what they believe that they know. My view on Assange, and this is a personal opinion, is I have absolutely no idea if he's guilty or not. I wasn't in the room when the alleged incident is supposed to have happened, so I can't really say for certain. But what I do know is that the Swedish authorities, the Swedish police, have had an allegation of rape made against Julian Assange. Obviously, they have to investigate that. At the moment, they are unable to complete their investigation because they've been unable, for one reason or another, to question Julian Assange. Now, it seems that the Swedish authorities are very keen to have him over in Sweden to do that. One of the questions that I am asking, I'm putting this out there for other people to ask themselves as well, because I haven't managed to come up with an entirely satisfactory answer to it yet, is I understand that the Ecuadorian embassy and Julian Assange have offered to allow the Swedish authorities in and to question Julian Assange under Swedish law. Yep. At the moment, I can't really understand any reason why they haven't taken up that offer, because at the moment, all they want to do is question him. He's saying that he's happy to answer questions, but he has fears about if he's extradited to Sweden, he'll then be extradited on further to the USA, where he fears possibly even the death penalty.
Have the Swedish not responded, or have they declined the invitation?
This is really unclear. I haven't actually been able to ascertain if that has definitely happened and if the Swedish authorities have definitely declined it. I've had indications that they have declined it, but I can't say that for absolute with absolute certainty, but my understanding is that the Swedish authorities would prefer to have the arrest warrant executed to extradite him to Sweden and to question him in Sweden.
Yeah. But back to your work in general, is this phenomenon of citizens' journalism via direct live streaming, is that something very recent?
Relatively speaking, yeah, because the technology hasn't been around for that long. One of the really interesting things that I've seen is I've been live streaming and recording activism generally and protest in the UK since the Occupy movement started here, just because I felt that there were other stories which weren't being told. So I just wanted a way to put that out there, and I thought it doesn't really matter if like only one or two people watch it, or if even if nobody watches it, I feel that I'm doing the right thing for the right reasons and just trying to get more information out there so there's more transparency and freedom of information. And I think live streaming does have the potential to really revolutionise journalism, because at the moment a lot of people have to rely on their news from the major media conglomerates, yeah. Because up until now they've been the only ones who've had the ability to broadcast pictures and sound across the globe. They have the satellite uplinks and everything. But now with the various range of live streaming applications available, anybody who's got a smartphone and an unlimited data connection can essentially do it, if they want to. I mean, there's a few other things that they might have to bear in mind as well, but really all somebody needs is a smartphone and a mobile internet connection, and that's it, they can do it. And that's tremendously empowering, because rather than needing hundreds of thousands of euros or even millions of euros worth of equipment, just an individual with a very limited budget is able to do something along those lines themselves. And that's really fascinating. Yeah. It's going to be incredible to see how it develops as the technology can only improve and get better.
We've got about 1 minute left. The last question is, do you have contact with other similar citizen journalists? Because I saw a link to a Pussy Riot-related live stream on your Twitter account.
Yeah, I try to connect with other citizen journalists as much as I possibly can. There's one guy who was involved with live streaming Occupy Wall Street at Timcast on Twitter. I've been in touch with him, and I started to build a network of hundreds of people, none of whom know each other particularly well. It's basically just a loose affiliation, and when you use things like social networks to drive like views for other people, people tend to reciprocate, and it's really about cooperating with other people rather than being in competition with them. I think the important thing is the information gets out there. It doesn't matter who's actually doing the broadcasting of it. The thing is to get it out there and to offer people a genuine alternative to the mainstream, rather than just complaining that mainstream media is nonsense and it's all rubbish. That doesn't actually do any good. You have to offer people an alternative. And the more people that live stream, the more that can happen. So I'd really like to see it grow, and I'd ask people to have a look at my channel, because I'm going to be offering a how-to tutorial, some of the things that I've learned, and hopefully if we can Skillshare, I can learn off of other people, they can learn off of me, we can all be teachers, and maybe we could really build a people-powered movement to topple the outright dominance of mainstream media.
Okay. Well, thanks for your time, James. Good luck with your work, and we'll post this interview on our weblog. Have a good weekend.
Wonderful. Okay. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.